Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and in an article that I'll publish this week entitled The Ugly Truth Emerges About Synthetic Thyroid, I refer to a study performed at Rush Medical School in Chicago that looks at the way that people are currently dosed with thyroid medication and concludes that a lot of people are left feeling lousy, even though their tests are purportedly normal. But worse than that, they're left at higher risk for obesity, depression, and cardiometabolic problems. That means weight gain leading to insulin resistance, associated with risk for diabetes, hypertension, and heart disease. And these are people on normal thyroid, so something's wrong with our paradigm. And I would maintain that there are two things wrong with our paradigm. One is our over-reliance on certain tests, which are simplistic and miss the boat, i.e. the TSH test, which now reigns supreme as the way of detecting hypothyroidism, but also of monitoring patients' response to therapy. So it misses the boat on two accounts. I think a lot of people with a fairly normal TSH deserve a trial of thyroid medication based on their symptoms. And number two, when we get the TSH down, doctors are afraid to suppress it too far. When they don't suppress it far enough, patients don't achieve their target in terms of well-being. And, of course, the overall problem is that we're using what's called monotherapy, which means we're using medications that are just T4. T4 is what the thyroid mostly makes, but the thyroid also, our natural thyroid gland, makes T3, which is active immediately in the body, and thus bypasses the need for transformation from T4, which in some people is impaired. So we got, you know, some real problems with the thyroid paradigm. And I got to say that, you know, for almost my entire medical career, which is now nearly 30 years, I've departed from standard guidelines in terms of thyroid therapy. I recognized early on that something was wrong with the mainstream model. And, you know, I have to say that as a result of my being a renegade, I'll never regret that decision, and I'm going to stick to my guns because I have helped so many patients, countless patients over the years, who otherwise would never have achieved wellness without a little bit out-of-the-box thinking on, you know, whether they need thyroid to begin with and what type of thyroid they should be getting and how it should be properly dosed. I can think of one example. I mean, there are many, but, you know, just one guy who strikes me because he didn't come to me because he was that interested in holistic medicine. He really wasn't interested in diet. He was a very pragmatic, conservative individual, vitamins and supplements. He just came to me because somebody said, you know, you can't get your thyroid right, just go see Dr. Hoffman. And this is a guy who, at a fairly young age, I remember he was an attorney, had his thyroid removed because it was cancerous. So when you have your thyroid removed for the rest of your life, you can be you need to be on thyroid medication. But it just wasn't the same as his original thyroid. And his endocrinologist, who was a terrific endocrinologist, but using the conventional paradigm, gave him Synthroid at a variety of dosage levels, high, low, medium. And the guy never felt right. And so I took a look at it, and I did my best approximation of the amount of Synthroid that he was on in equivalence to a natural armor thyroid dosage. And sometimes it takes me several tries to get it right, but I just, boom, hit it dead on the first time. And the guy came back and he was extremely happy, felt good. His tests were normal. And, you know, so many cases like that. You know, many women, for example, have bad PMS, menstrual irregularities, infertility. These are problems that are often alleviated by thyroid dosing. I can think of a patient who came to me after several IVF attempts, failed attempts. She just wasn't having any luck. They were already beginning to consider adoption. And I said, well, what about your thyroid? And she said, well, they told me my thyroid is normal. Well, I looked at her, you know, just across my desk, and I said, you know, your thyroid appears to be enlarged. Let me feel it. And indeed, it was enlarged. And although her tests were normal, there was something wrong with her thyroid. And I said, well, are you cold? She says, oh, yeah, I'm cold all the time. I'm the first one who puts on a sweater. And so you're having trouble losing weight? Oh, I hardly eat anything, but I just keep putting on pounds, et cetera, et cetera. She had many of the symptoms of hypothyroidism. I put her on natural thyroid, and the next thing I heard, she was pregnant within, you know, a couple of months. Boom. You know, it just worked. And so this is a really, really important way of thinking that many integrative doctors have embraced. Now, it's not, however, without its potential pitfalls and perils, because once you, you know, there's a little bit of a danger of freeing yourself from guidelines. Guidelines are very restrictive, but they're also there for safety reasons. So when you sort of fly free of guidelines and you just dose and dose and dose people with thyroid medication indiscriminately, I've seen some cases where people have come to harm. I've seen a couple of cases of cardiac arrhythmias with natural thyroid. And what happens sometimes is that when you're younger, you tolerate it. But as you get older, the heart is less tolerant of it. Or alternatively, when you're on the right dose of thyroid and you feel good and you're active and your metabolism is clicking, you lose some weight. Say you lose 15 or 20 pounds. Well, you know, a person 15 or 20 pounds lighter doesn't need as much thyroid as someone heavier. So you have to adjust the dose downward. But I did see an unfortunate case of a woman recently, and I'm pretty sure her problems are due to excess thyroid because she went to a doctor who was holistic. And, you know, holistic doctors are very iconoclastic and, you know, creative. And he put her on what I think was an astronomical amount of Armour thyroid. I think it was 3 or 4 grains of Armour thyroid, or, you know, quite high dose. That would be 240 milligrams of Armour thyroid, which is, you know, much higher than I usually use. And I think she, you know, she felt good. You know, she initially did well. She got to the point where she was menopausal, and the doctor said, okay, let's do a bone density. It's kind of a milestone for women, doing a bone density at menopause to see what her bone density was. And she had no risk factors for osteoporosis, nothing to make her think that she was at risk, no family history. She wasn't on like a very restricted vegan diet. She didn't have an eating disorder where she was starving herself. She wasn't celiac disease. She hadn't been on a lot of steroid medication. You know, these are traditional risk factors for osteoporosis. Also, acid-blocking medication can prevent the absorption of calcium and other critical nutrients causing osteoporosis. But to her horror, she had awful bone density. It was like the equivalent of bone density of a 90-year-old and very advanced osteoporosis. And what we discovered is that she was vastly overdosed on thyroid medication. And so we had to lower it. And it turns out that she didn't need all that thyroid medication. She didn't feel much of a letdown on more of an appropriate dose of thyroid medication. But it turns out that if you have Graves' disease, which is a condition of hyperthyroidism, or if you're dosed excessively on thyroid medication, then you can leach calcium from your bones. Now, a lot of people think, oh my God, I'm on thyroid medication, I'm going to get osteoporosis. No. If you're on an appropriate dose, we seldom see an effect of thyroid medication. It's just as if you had a normal thyroid. Normal thyroid, the object of replacement is to give you back what you're missing, not to give you massively more, like taking speed. You know, it's just to replace what your body isn't making. So there really is a need for a better approach. Now, what are the limits? The limitations to getting this to happen. Well, you know, first of all, there are real obstacles to getting thyroid medication, natural thyroid medication, that is, because the drug companies, the insurance companies and Medicare don't reimburse for natural thyroid. Perhaps some insurance companies do. Medicare does not, which is the height of irony because we got a presidential candidate out there By the time some of you listen to this podcast, we may or may not know whether she is the future presidente of the United States. But this person who may preside over the governmental apparatus that administers Medicare, which doesn't permit anything other than Synthroid or levothyroxine, doesn't reimburse or recognize natural thyroid. She herself is taking natural thyroid. She's taking Armour thyroid. So, you know, it's kind of like ironic that you know, this is it's not something that you you know, the unwashed masses can obtain under insurance, but the elite can obtain it and consider it a superior form of therapy. That's kind of an ironic situation. So, we also have a statement that is the official guideline of the gatekeepers to thyroid therapy. That is it's called the American Thyroid Association Clinical Practice Guidelines for Treating Hypothyroidism. Okay, they, you know, it's like, you don't know what to do, look it up. They'll tell you what to do. They say there are no control trials supporting the preferred use of desiccated thyroid armor over L-thyroxine in the treatment of hypothyroidism or any other thyroid disease. And that's, you know, that's what they're saying. And they're sticking to their guns, even in the face of more studies that suggest that conventional thyroid medication not doing the trick. So what's happening is that there's a lot of patient activism. There are a lot of people who are pushing for changes. There are a lot of people visiting functional medicine doctors or integrative physicians who are schooled in the use of natural thyroid. And again, I think you have to be careful, because if you are given, you know, indiscriminately too much medication, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. I think the other constraint on people getting a natural thyroid from their doctors is that doctors are really under the gun to conform. And, you know, as I said earlier, I've never regretted that I've stepped outside the box in terms of my style of practicing thyroid. I've done it, I think, with the safety of my patients in mind, but also their well-being. But I've defied conventional guidelines, and I have to say that this is really a big deal, because some of my colleagues have been brought up on charges of medical malfeasance by their state medical boards or local medical societies, because they disagree with the way that these doctors are prescribing thyroid. It's actually a pretty controversial area. And I think that that's easing up a little bit these days, but in some parts of the country, perhaps less in, you know, more sophisticated parts of the country like New York where I practice, but in some parts of the country, you literally put your medical license at risk prescribing natural thyroid. It's considered poor practice or malpractice to do so, even when I think it you know, it has a rational basis and is superior. And many patients are extremely grateful to their doctors for, you know, providing them with that service that they can't ordinarily get from the mainstream medical community. There's a little vignette that I'll share with you. This actually happened to me when I had a patient who was a family member who I felt had an enlarged thyroid. You know, it was one of those dinner things. I looked across the table and I said, "Hey, let me, you know," he said, "Why are you looking at my neck?" And I said, "Why are you staring?" I said, "I think your thyroid is enlarged. Do you mind if I reach over and examine it?" So, you know, this is the way doctors behave at dinners. I reached over and I said, "Yeah, you know, your thyroid is a little bit enlarged. I'm concerned." And, I said, "Look, you know, we can give you thyroid medication, But the one thing I can't really do properly is I can't work this up on the off chance that there might be cancer. You know, the large thyroid, most of the time, you know, 95% of the time or 98% of the time, it's benign. It's a goiter. It's just a little enlarged and swollen. And it'll sometimes shrink with thyroid medication. But there is the possibility that, you know, a scan might reveal the presence of what's called a cold nodule, which is dangerous, potentially cancerous, that has to be biopsied. So I said, you know, and in some ways I hate to treat family members because, you know, sometimes with family members you get complacent. And with when I'm with my patients, I'm ultra, ultra careful. So I said, look, I'm going to treat you like I would treat any patient. I'm going to have you see an endocrinologist. And I looked in the directory and I sent her to a well-known endocrinologist. So she shows up at the endocrinologist and the endocrinologist greets her and says, you know, hi, how you doing? By the way, who is your primary care doctor? And she answered, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And it turns out that there are three Dr. Ronald Hoffmans in New York, which creates a certain amount of confusion. It's a big city and it's a fairly common name. And one is an ear, nose, and throat doctor. So she said, oh, the ear, nose, and throat doctor? And so my relative said, no. She said, the hematologist oncologist? And my relative said, no. And the endocrinologist, the thyroid specialist, said to her, oh, you mean the holistic doctor? And she said, yeah, yeah, I guess that, yeah, that's the one. That's Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And the doctor replied, that quack? You should find yourself another primary care. You know, which I, when I heard this story, it just blew me away. But it, what it does connote is the degree of disdain that some endocrinologists hold us in the holistic community who treat thyroid other than by the standard method. I mean, she'd probably seen some patients or heard tell that I was using natural thyroid, which is sometimes pejoratively referred to as piggy thyroid. I mean, you're not using that piggy thyroid anymore, are you? And so, startled, my relative blurted out, but he's my father-in-law. And so that, I just can imagine the expression on that doctor's face when she had just declared me a quack and then realized that the patient sitting in front of her was the daughter-in-law of this very self-same quack. So the net result of it, you know, the appointment ended quickly. My relative said, I'm not comfortable here. I'm sorry. And she came back to me, you know, practically in tears and said, I need to find another endocrinologist. That endocrinologist was a jerk. And so, you know, fortunately, that did not prejudice my daughter-in-law against me. But it just illustrates the degree of bias and the battle lines, unfortunately, are drawn on this. So, you know, this is an important area, and I think we need to push harder for better thyroid treatment. I'm happy to align myself with patient activists, of which there are many, who seek out better thyroid diagnoses. I think that we need to also be cautious in the application of natural thyroid because it is a little bit unwieldy. You know, I think a decent analogy is that, you know, when you're shaving, you know, you can use a safety razor and you're not likely to cut yourself, but the best shave that you can get is probably with a straight razor, right? But a straight razor has to be wielded with some degree of expertise and it can be dangerous if in the wrong hands. And I think that by analogy, the natural thyroid provides you with a better result, but has to be wielded with some degree of care by an experienced practitioner. It's a little harder to cookbook than conventional thyroid medication, which is, I guess, one of the reasons why the medical establishment embraces conventional thyroid medication is, you know, just dose till the TSH is okay and then you're done. Just rely on the TSH. Don't spend so much time, you know, listening to all the various nutty complaints that the patient is laying at your, you know, feet. Just get in, get out, dose the patient appropriately, you're done. And I think that that ultimately leaves a lot of patients high and dry, as this study concludes. And we'll provide a link to you to that study in the article that we're going to put up at drhoffman.com this week. I thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.